there's a mountain up ahead that I can't seem to climb. So I'm praying for the strength to try it one more time. Lord, don't move that mountain. Just give me strength to climb. For if you should move each mountain, I might grow weaker every time. And just like your son Jesus took that cross up Calvary's hill, Lord, don't move that mountain so I may better do your will. Now if there were no problems, Lord, I might forget to pray. And if there were no valleys, Lord, I might even stray. But I know the higher the mountain, the sweeter the victory. Lord, ever remind me that you will walk beside of me. Lord, don't move that mountain, just give me strength to son Jesus took that cross of Calvary's hill. Lord, don't move that mountain so I may better do your will. Lord, don't move that mountain so I may better do your will.
Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this day for your blessings. We thank you for your goodness to us, your mercy and your grace. And we just ask you to help us this morning. I pray every heart, every need that you speak to us. And Father, that you encourage, I pray, your people this morning. Help us, Father. You've heard the names, the needs, the requests that's been called out this morning, each and every one you know this morning, Father, better to how to minister than we could even begin to pray and to ask. And we ask you just to minister according to the need this morning. Help each one, touch each one, and have your hand upon them, I pray, Father, to work healing, give help, give grace. And Father, we ask you to help us as we go on in this service today. Bless and keep. We thank you for all that you've done and just pray that you'll continue to put your hand upon us, lead us and guide us. Father, we thank you this morning now and just ask you to bless this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is good to see you this morning and good to see you in church. But I tell you, the more than seeing you in church this morning is the hope and the happy thought of seeing you in heaven one day. Because the reality, God to help us this morning, there's a lot of folks in church that ain't going to be in heaven. Amen. And I pray that we understand the gravity of where we are today. And we want to preach this morning a very, very simple message. Amen. I wrote that at the top of the page, amen, John 3:16. What better title than John 3:16? This morning, I was reminded because, and we're not going to preach on this particular thought, but in verse number 7 of John chapter 3, Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. You must be born again. George Whitfield, a preacher from years gone by, preached, they say, thousands of messages. George Whitfield, I believe you could probably say, he preached himself to death. I hadn't looked at this in some time, but I believe he averaged preaching about 10 to 11 sermons a week. I can't imagine. But they said he preached thousands of messages from the text of John chapter 3 and verse number 7. So much so that in his latter years he was asked by a close friend, "George, why do you preach so many messages from John chapter 3 and verse number 7? To which he replied, "Ye must be born again." It was important, and so he preached. And now this morning, we want to look at John 3:16, because John 3:16 gives us some insight about being born again. And it says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the Word of God. We thank You for these that have come. And we ask You to take, I pray, the Word of God and to apply it to our hearts this morning. Encourage, strengthen, convict, and help, I pray, each and every one that hears, Father, these words this morning. We just ask Your blessings upon it now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Of all of the stars in the heavens, the North Star is the most useful to mariners. It has been used over the years as a guiding star. Nowadays, we don't use the stars to navigate like they used to. We punch it in on our phone and it takes us there. And so we've got a GPS. We've even got them on the boats, that GPS that will take us to certain places and coordinates that we want to go. I can get on the boat and listen, when you're out there in the bay, everything looks the same. I mean, you might can go close to an area, but I'm talking about to get on the same spot. If you don't have something to tell you when it's just all nothing but water, how do you know? Well, you got a GPS on there and I can hit go to this particular coordinates and it'll take me right to the same place where I caught those 20 fish last time in the same hole. There'll be a flag and a marker and it'll let me know you're there. You can drop anchor and try it again. Well, amen. So we use the GPS, and I hear they got a new GPS now. It's called a senior GPS. A senior GPS, they say not only will it take you to where you want to go, but amen, it'll remind you when you get there why you wanted to go there. But see, they didn't have a GPS, and so how did they navigate? Amen, they used the stars. You know, it took Paul in there where Paul told them, "We don't need to make this trip, fellas." And the Bible says they was gone many days, but they hadn't seen the sun, the moon, the stars. Everything they used for navigational purposes was gone. We might could say that John 3:16 has been a North Star of Scripture. It's been a verse that eternity may tell us that more people have found the salvation in John 3:16 than any other one verse in Scripture. Because from a child, the one thing that I can remember, the first verse that I ever remember being taught and the memorization was John 3:16. I mean, over and over, that was put before us, and it was, I remember
It was the very first Bible verse that I ever stood up in front of a church and quoted. John 3:16. The North Star of Bible verses. And what a promise that it is. But there's several words that stands out here in this particular passage of Scripture. We read it often, but with so many things in life, there's a lot of things that we take for granted. I mean, we just do. I went and talking to Sister Merlene in the hospital, and we was talking about that very subject that she said that we take our health for granted. Things that we could to just get up and just go and do until we can't get up and go and do. And there's a lot of things that we take for granted. A lot of things that we just kind of, even if we don't take them for granted, we don't really appreciate them as much as we should. We look over them. And there's some words, there's some things in here that probably as we quote this verse many times, we look over them. But I just want to draw our attention for just a few minutes this morning, because it says here, the first word that I want us to really pay attention to, it says there's the word right there in verse number 16. It's the third word. So. For God so loved. Now that word there, God so loved. It means, it brings the word low to a new height. The value to which God has placed His love upon us. He loved us so much. With such a great love. He loved us so intensely. The love that He had for us. Amen. And this particular word that He so loved us, it speaks of both of the profound extent and of the specific manner in which He loved us. Amen. I know what people say. Care what they think about me. It don't bother to me. That's a lie. I mean, we might say, listen, I don't want nobody thinking ill of me. Now then, I can't help it about certain things, and God help us that we've still got to live and go and do, but amen, it matters. But God loved us. It's good to be loved. And God so loved us. He loved you. He loved me. When? Well, quite frankly, when we were unlovable. While we were yet sinners, the Bible said Christ died for us. He set His love upon us. He loved us so. He loved you so. So much. Well, amen, what did He do? He gave us a gift. God's gift. In all of its freeness and His greatness. Gift. It's just something about getting a gift. You know, I've mentioned before, I heard that guy tell about those NFL owners meetings. His little company, that he had a little shoe business, and he was at the owners meeting. And them owners of them 32 teams, ever how many it is, comes down there, and he said they like kids at Christmas because they getting a free pair of shoes, and he said they could buy my company and wouldn't never know the difference in their checking account, and yet it's something that they look forward to. It excites them. Boy, they're getting something, a gift. Well, amen, here's the thing. God's given us a gift.
Amen.
God has. Well, we talk about you must be born again. See, the thing about that is by yourself, by myself, I couldn't. That's an impossibility for me and for you, amen, to be born again. Amen. Some people, when they talk about it, they're talking about being born again, being born from above. The only way we can be born from above is because God's given us a gift. A gift. And so we see that in this verse that it says, for God so loved the world that He gave. God did. God gave. Now, amen, it's one thing. It's one thing to get a gift from mama, from daddy, from grandma. Amen. Get a gift from the preacher, the teacher. Amen. Get a gift from the neighbor. But amen, to get a gift from God, a gift from God, the creator of the universe has given unto us a gift that he offers, amen, of eternal life, the gift of his son. Because that's what it tells us here in the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, the gift is Jesus, God's son. Jesus is that priceless gift of love that had never been seen by the world before until he was born in Bethlehem. He came into this world. He came unto his own, the Bible said, and they received him not. But as many as received him, as many as received that gift, amen, that God has given, amen, they are the children of God. He gave us his son. And see the full extent, Jesus came into the world, amen, born in Bethlehem, and the events that transpired and happened, they didn't a whole lot of people get it. There was a few, there were some wise men that came. The shepherds heard about it, and boy, they were some of the first ones to come and to see this marvelous gift that was given unto men. But for the most part, you know what the world did? Amen. It just kept rocking on. Another 24 hours expired, and Jesus came, and he grew up, and he was in his little town there. He was the carpenter's son. He was just Jesus. He married Joseph. But amen, as he entered into the ministry, things began to change, and he called some disciples. Jesus began to start drawing crowds. I mean, it's not unlike today. Jesus was doing some miracles. I mean, we mentioned the other day, there was a funeral procession coming down the street, and you know, I made to come here. I said, you know, Jesus, he messed up a good funeral. Because why? Because he raised the dead. He opened up the blinded eyes. You know, this thing, we talk about it sometime in church. You know, we'll talk about it and we'll do it. You know, we'll have a fish fry. Well, amen. We ain't the first ones to feed the multitude with some fish. Jesus did that. And listen, here's the thing. You know what we say, and God help us. I mean, I enjoy having fish fry and cookout because y'all know me. I like to eat. But we say, well, you know, if you feed them, they'll come. Well, you know, one of the reasons that they like to hang around Jesus, because, I mean, he liable to break out. We liable to get some free food. He'd feed us and miracles and all of these things. But, amen, there came a time and a point in his ministry where he said some things that was hard for them to hear. And they turned and they went back, and they said they followed him no more. But he asked the disciples, he asked his little group, will you also go away? Peter said, where else are we going to go? For we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And they knew that he had eternal life. He was the gift. Amen. And Peter recognized that, amen, this was the Son of God, the very gift of God. And so he's given us his Son as a gift. And of course, the world today, what does it do? It goes on. And I tell you what the world don't want to have a lot to do with, amen, is Jesus. And I'll just be honest, and I'm going to try to say this real quick and move on. There's some things that right about this in this world that we live in that just puzzles me. Because there's a group of folks today that, amen, they hate Jesus so much that they will align themselves with other folks that they don't have anything else in common with except they hate Jesus. And boy, they'll go headlong. The commonality is they don't want Jesus. They don't want this man to have lordship over their life. They don't want the scriptures to tell them what to do. Now, they'll let somebody else tell them what to do. Amen. They'll give their life and their soul, amen, to the devil, as long as they don't have to abide by what Jesus says. And you know why Jesus came into the world? He just condemned. No. Jesus came because the world was condemned already. That's why he came. The world was in condemnation. The world was lost. Jesus came to save. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but he came into the world to save the world. He was God's gift to the world, God's gift to mankind. Jesus came. God sent His only begotten Son into the world to live and to die for us. Because I was sinful. The Bible said all. That includes me, that includes you, and everybody outside the walls. Amen. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And somebody, amen, the only way we could be right with God was somebody had to make us right. Because we couldn't make ourselves right with God. But see, in this verse, we also find the simple requirement. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The simple requirement. What's the requirement? Faith. Believe. To believe. This is, to us, it's the way of salvation. It points us to salvation that we must believe. To believe. Now then, this belief, it goes beyond just an intellectual belief. I mean, I'll just give you a quick point. Do you believe that if you jump out of the airplane with a parachute on, that it's going to open and you're going to land and everything's going to be all right? Do you believe you can do that? I do. I believe it intellectually. I don't believe it in my heart. Now, amen, Brother Larry over there, and y'all know Brother Larry. I mean, you know what he did when he joined the army? He jumped out of perfectly good airplanes with a parachute on. And every time he jumped out, that parachute opened, amen, and he landed, amen, just like he was supposed to. And so you ask me, well, you believe that? Yeah, well, here's your parachute. I don't need it. Why? Because I ain't jumping out no airplane. I mean, I believe it to a point. You know, I mean, we do things that, there's things at the house, things that I've done. But see, a lot of them don't have near the consequences as other things do. I've looked at some, I've surveyed some logs and some old bridges and things. I'm talking about just little footbridges. And I think it'd hold me up. And you know what I did? Well, because I believed it held me up, I crossed it. As a few of them didn't hold me up. So what's that tell you? Just because you believe something don't mean it's true. I've crossed a few that got me wet. So this believing, it's more than an intellectual belief. It's something in our heart. Amen. Do you believe? I'm going to tell you what, them fellas jumping out of them airplanes, they believe with their heart that when they get up there and when that string gets pulled, that chute's coming out. They believe that. Because if they didn't, they wouldn't be jumping. And when we believe Christ, when we have faith, when we have more than intellectual faith, but a heart faith, we have come to the agreement and a trust in the facts. We know the facts. We agree with the facts and we place our trust in those facts. And it does what? It changes our life. To believe in Jesus changes one's life. We can have an intellectual belief and not much change. But amen, when we believe in our heart, amen, our lives are changed. And so he says, what's required? Simple faith. If you believe, that sounds good, but here's another part of this verse. Who's that open to? Because there's another word in there that's broad. And it says, whosoever will. Amen. Whosoever will. Even with a word like that, there's some today that say, I don't think God can save me. I mean, there's some folks that, you know, thinks that they're out of the reach of the grace of God, even though God said, whosoever will, amen, let him come. Well, if he'd have made that word narrower than it is, I don't know. But he didn't. He said, whosoever will. If you can believe, if you come from America, if you come from China, if you come from Russia, amen, if you come from any tribe, amen, from around the world, it don't matter where, if you can believe, he said he can save you. Whosoever will, he said, let him come. It's broad. He didn't confine it. He said, whosoever will, believe. What do we find? What do we see? He said, whosoever will, and thank God, because many have found room in that word, whosoever. And amen, many have come. But then he comes to the great promise. And he says in that promise that whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life. Jesus said, if you'll believe in me, he said, you shall not perish. Amen. We all know that death is part of this world, and we're going to leave this old body one day if God tarries. But amen, but our soul's never going to be separated from God. Who can separate us from the love of God? Amen. It's in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, those that believe on me is never going to perish. Amen. Jesus died once for all, and He lives forevermore. Amen. The Spirit of God dwells in the believer, and if we have not the Spirit of Christ, He said we're none of His. But if we believe, amen, He said we have everlasting life. Where are you going to be in 100 years? I'm going to be with Jesus. Where are you going to be in 1,000 years? I'm going to be with Jesus. Because you can't kill Him. He's already died once. You know who He died for? He died for me. He died for me. Amen. And if we're in Christ, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You talking about a North Star. John 3:16's been a North Star for many, many lost souls that didn't know very much, but somewhere along the way, maybe it was the only Bible verse that they really ever learned as a child, and somewhere on the way, God kept just kind of tapping on their heart. And amen. Till they got to a place where they maybe called out God and said, God, here's what you said. If you love me, God save me. God help me. And amen, that John 3:16 has been a North Star, and it's been a beacon of hope and a beacon of light that have guided many, many souls home. I pray this morning, as you stand with us this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, while we wait just a minute this morning, I pray that, as I said when we started, that it's good to see you at church. I pray, amen, that I see you in heaven. And this morning, if you have a need, if you need salvation, I pray you come. If you just need prayer, I pray that you come. While we wait just a minute, while we just pause in silence and, amen, listen to the rain on the outside and pray that God move in our hearts and that He flood our spirit with the Spirit of God, and that we get that we need this morning while we wait just a minute. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the unspeakable gift that You've given to us in Jesus Christ. And I ask You to touch every heart, every need this morning. And Father, just have Your way, not only here, but Father, as we go, that this word might find good ground in our hearts to grow and bring forth much fruit to
to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Good to see you. Don't get wet. Amen. Good luck with that. Remember prayer meeting Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock. And remember the prayer request. Is there any other word or anything before we dismiss? Amen. God bless you.